Well, hello again, everyone. Hero, Haro, Hero, whatever it may be. Snaro, Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Yeah, whoa, whoa. Oh, let your rain go. We gonna cross the Red Sea. Anyway, so that being said, we're thankful you're here and joining us for the mount. I need you to let three people know God seeks you. God seeks you. God seeks you. God seeks you. God seeks you online. Know that. That's our big idea today. Be reminded that God seeks you. I'm sitting here making sure I shared our message to all of our friends on social media, because that's probably a good thing, right? Because we miss them. They're on vacation. They're watching right now. They're getting rained on at the beach probably, right? That's just how it goes sometimes. But I want us to be reminded that God seeks you today. As we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we are chugging along. We are already in Matthew chapter 7. We got a few weeks left. Matthew's ready. A few weeks left as we continue our series here, and we'll be wrapping it up before we go to summer Sabbath. And then we'll start our summer semester. It's going to be really fun for what God has in store for that. And I'm excited for us as we are preparing for that. So what we're going through, if it's your first time hanging out with us or you hadn't been here in a while, pretty much all year, we've been walking through Jesus's most famous sermon, most misinterpreted sermon, and most abused sermon that he ever preached. And it's the Sermon on the Mount, and it's in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 as we're walking through that. And today is probably going to be one of the most famous verses in the Sermon on the Mount, because we're going to be talking about the golden rule. That's not what we're fully talking about today. But what we're going to be learning through today is ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, this was our word of the year. I see some shirts that have that. This was our word of the year just a bit ago, a couple years ago, as we were walking through this. So when I think of ask, seek, and knock, how many of us love door-to-door salesmen? See, But 75 years ago, neighbors actually welcomed you into the community by knocking on your door. But somewhere along the way, it became about a transaction and not a relationship. Because believe it or not, when door-to-door sales started, it was a walk in the clouds. Wow. Anyway, look that up later. You'll get it. So door-to-door salesman, maybe you sell some chocolate. You know what I'm saying. So door-to-door salesman, what would happen is they would go off the reputation of others and say, so-and-so down the road bought this product, and so you went off of the word of so-and-so buying it, or you were trying to keep up with the Joneses and said, I'll take two then. Like something like that happened, and it just all of a sudden became something that the relationship of asking, seeking, and knocking kind of got lost. In the technology world we live in, we have this with spam calls. We have doorbells that now have cameras. Like, so we do everything we can to avoid anyone asking, seeking, or knocking. And before I even get off tangent, because I probably will today, most of the time when I think about this, I think in our relationship with God, we're like Adam and Eve. We don't want him asking, we don't want him seeking, and we sure don't want him knocking. Let me handle what I got, God, and give me my blessing. Leave my package at the door like Amazon does, and let me have my little blessing. So let's dive into what Jesus is teaching us today when it comes about asking, seeking, and knocking in our relationship. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and get into Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 7 and 8. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we have them free for the taking over in the garden. I know that in the digital world we live in, like I like to do things physically in my Bible and read from there, but in the digital world we live in, again, I mentioned it earlier, you can download our free Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. It'll bring you to your app store, and you'll see a little notes tab in the bottom right-hand side there where you can take notes for today, because I'm going old school, or the my way old school. I don't have points today for all those note takers. I'm sorry, but we do have some good stuff for you. But that being said, also, each and every week, Zach Candler, our Vine production team, will make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week has the scripture on the screen for you. So if you're ready to receive the word God has given us in Matthew chapter 7, give me an amen. All right, God's people said amen. So here we go, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Ask. Ask. Get that K on there real quick to make sure we're good. Ask. Make sure we have that real quick. hey, if you want to come back and you thought I said the other thing, we can't wait to see you next week because it's going to be a fun ride. So that being said, if that's what gets you to church, come on in. So that being said, when we talk about ask, it sounds a lot like prayer, right? When we ask God for something, it sounds a lot like prayer. See, in this moment in time, it reminds us, and we talk about it a lot, is that you and I, before Jesus Christ, we're all beggars searching for bread, right? See, when I think about Israel and I think about in the Old Testament, when the Israelites are talking about leaving Pharaoh, let my people go. When they crossed over in the desert of sin, remember, God brought manna from heaven every day. And he said, take enough for today only. It wasn't about what they owned. It wasn't about what they had. It wasn't about their class. It wasn't anything. It was not that God just wanted to provide for them. It was a test whether they trusted that he would provide for them. So when we think about this, just be reminded that Jesus is the bread of life. We know where the beggars need to find bread. So for each and every one of us, when we ask God something, we know we can receive. So when you think about that, think of the privilege of that. Getting to ask God anything. Like, take that in. You and me. We get to be a part of how God is changing the future and his will. We get to say, God, send me. We get to say, God, I don't know what this means, but you do. Send me. I'm going to take that next step. God, I don't know what you're working out. I don't know why I got that diagnosis. I don't know why I lost that job. I don't know why that relationship is gone, but I know you're working it out. You and I get to be a part of his future in his will. Now, did you and I do anything to deserve that? Did we give enough at church? Did we serve enough? Did we go to enough Sunday school meetings, Awana classes, Sunday night, wherever it was? But did we do enough of those to deserve it? The answer is absolutely no. But think about it. The God of the universe who created us took us, his enemy in sin, and says, you know what? Not only am I going to save you, you can question me. But God himself has veto power. And that's where we don't like him asking, seeking, and knocking, right? Think on how good God is that we can ask him literally anything, that he is a big enough God to handle it, and he's good enough to walk with us through it. In the Old Testament, when Jesus is teaching this, you couldn't mention the name of God. You couldn't say Yahweh. You couldn't do it. If you said Yahweh, they would say that you broke one of the Ten Commandments. You could barely even whisper it, and yet Jesus comes, and he is God in flesh for us. Ask. If this doesn't show that God is good, I don't know what does. That we can ask him anything. Because the truth of the matter is, oftentimes we don't like questions unless we already know the answer, do we? Whoever wants to go to a test that you don't know the answer to? I don't. I like to be a know-it-all on things. I don't know about you, but I like to think that I know I'm pretty smart. I'm a pretty big deal around here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that. But we get to ask God, who already knows everything. Parents, I reminded us a couple of weeks ago, if you want to talk about this, this is one of the goodness of God things that we should teach our children. We should teach them about his sovereignty. We should teach them about reverent awe and reverent fear of him. But we've got to be reminded of the goodness of God, that when it seems it's all falling apart, God is the anchor that is holding us. We've got to teach him about his goodness. Because if we forget his goodness, we certainly aren't attracted to him. Do you and I believe things that we are attracted to are good or bad? Be honest. Think about it. Right? We think the things we are attracted to are good. Right? Pretty woman walking down the street. No? Right? We think they're good. We think those things are good. But as we get to be more attracted to God and we get to know him more and the depth of his goodness, we want to follow him more. We aren't afraid to ask. Think on how awful it would be if God is not good. Would you want to ask him question? Would you want to believe the hope that he has to offer? What if only God's wrath is all we got? Man, that would stink, wouldn't it? Hope to catch God on a good day? This is Islam. They hope God catches them on a good day. That is religion. Because there was no Jew in the Old Testament that walked the earth that was perfect. They hoped the sovereign God accepted all of their sacrifices, but you and I on this side of the cross already have it answered for us. Even when we ask the question, the thing is for you and I to ask the question, we've got to be in relationship with God first. And that's only through Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now comes to the ask. The ask. Get there. When we ask in prayer, God answers us, doesn't he? Yes, no, or not yet. I only like one of those three. Meatloaf was wrong, I guess. Two out of three ain't bad, because I only got one out of three of that I like, right? I only want the yes. But you see, if we don't believe God is good, we'll stop asking. I don't know about you. I've been in that relationship with God before where I just didn't believe. I just got tired of hearing, not yet. God, I just hear no's. But yet when I wake up in the morning, that's his best yes to me, isn't it? Because he says, I'm not done with you. So where are you in that when it comes to that? Where are you in trusting that God hears your prayers? Because if you struggle with trusting God hears your prayers, I would encourage you this week, go to Revelation 8. Read, it's the first five or six verses of Revelation 8, and it's right here when they go in there. It says, the prayers of the saints are all gathered up before the altar of the Lord, and they are poured out upon the earth. All those prayers are poured out. Never think your ask to God doesn't matter. Never think that he doesn't hear you. He always hears the prayer of faith. So let me ask you this then. Do we treat prayer as the privilege it is? Because that's the tough one. It's a superpower. No other religion, no other God in the world allows you to approach him that way. You either have to have the path to enlightenment, had all of those steps worked out, hope that you catch God on a good day or martyr yourself. You've got to be reincarnated over and over and over and over and over again until you're just right. No other God allows you to approach them. That's what sets our God apart. Seek. Seek. What are we seeking? It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Reminder in the tangent there, whatever we look for, we'll find. You want a new car? You're going to find new cars on the road everywhere. And then when you get it, you're going to find that new car everywhere else. You get a car, a red car, all you see is red cars. You're like, how in the world? Like, whatever you seek, find. Are you seeking Jesus? Are you seeking him as your ultimate treasure? Be honest. Like, sometimes in our walk, Christian, we don't do that as well as we need to. Like, yes, we sought him. We sought him before we came to know him, right? We sing about it. He sought me and he bought me. Like, right, with his redeeming blood, right? Like, we got it. We sought him and he bought us. And then we're just like, hang on, I got to get that lower. He sought me and bought me, right? And then he put us under that cleansing flood, right? But then what happens? Thanks, like the Amazon box. Man, that looks good up there. Thank you for seeking me, Jesus. And we leave him on the mantle. How deep are you seeking Jesus as your ultimate treasure right now? Is he still your ultimate treasure? Think on it this way. There is infinitely more Jesus available to us than you and I will ever know in this lifetime. Do you know how I know it? Because God promises we'll spend eternity getting to know him. But here's the beauty of it. He will give us as much as we seek of him. If we're willing to seek him right now, we're going to be able to get as much of him as we're willing to seek. So if we aren't willing to seek him, all we're going to get is get out of hell free card. And it's not the John 10:10 life he came to give us. So that's the question. How much of Jesus do you want? I don't know about you, but I need a ton of Jesus. A ton of be Jesus. I need Jesus. What would Jesus do? Yeah, I need to ask those questions. I just need Jesus, and I need more of him. And it's funny, when I get more of him, the more of what he does I want to do. How much Jesus do you want? Because if you just want his blessing, his Amazon package, and you worship the gift more than the giver, heaven's going to be awful for you. Because that's what we're going to be spending eternity doing, seeking him more face to face. Because you're going to be like, I didn't get my blessing. Not fair. I didn't get my blessing. Like, and we'll miss out on the beauty of heaven. How much of Jesus are you seeking? The Old Testament in Exodus 33, 18 to 20, Moses asked to seek God's face and he passes by. The guy who gets a hard time in Matthew chapter 14 is Peter. He seeks Jesus and walks on water. How much are you seeking Jesus? Will you seek and want Jesus more and more every day? Because the more and more you seek him, not only do you find him, you're willing to share him, which is why he says we have to knock. You Quasimodo. Hunchback of Notre Dame. When they knocked on the door, what did she cry? What was the word she cried? Sanctuary. Sanctuary. Do we trust that he's our only sanctuary? Or do we keep knocking behind door number two, right? Do we keep trading up and let's make a deal, God? Because you will always fall short. Satan will keep trying to make us try to make a deal when Jesus has already paid the debt. Will we trust that his presence alone is the only door that's worth knocking on and resting in? Because when we knock on his door, does God reject us or welcome us in? He always welcomes us in, right? He welcomes us in. So why in the world? Let's think about, why do you and I knock on the door? Because we want what's on the other side, right? Like, I want to know what's on the other side. It's something that I seek. So I'm going to give you more Revelation homework. I gave you Revelation 8 talking about the prayer of the saints. Revelation 3, God talks about this. It says that there is no door that I shut that can be opened and no door that I open that can be shut. Will we trust that when we knock on the door? That if God opens it, it's going to stay open. And if he shuts it, it's not worth our time to keep knocking on it. I don't know about you, but I just want to keep knocking on it. And he ain't opening it. You home, God? I want this thing. See, it starts with us asking about his will first, seeking him as our treasure, knowing what door that we're supposed to knock on. Let's go to verse 9 through 12. Jesus gives a beautiful example on how we can live this out. So now we ask, seek, and knock. We share Jesus with everyone we have. Verse 9 through 12, Jesus says this, very before we get to the golden rule in verse 12. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Now look at this in the cross. Jesus is the bread of life, and he is the stone the builders, what, church? Rejected. What? So we ask for the bread of life. We rejected this stone. So just keep going. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. Jesus did what when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000? What did he break? He had bread and what? Fish. In the Old Testament, when Moses was there, if you remember when they were in the wilderness, they had to look up on something on a pole. What is the thing they had to look up on? A snake. And it pointed to the cross, right? Look at Jesus all over this. Then he says, then, if you then, though you are evil, he just lays it out there, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who what, church? Ask him. We expect God to read our minds. And I don't know about you as humans, I'm pretty terrible about reading minds. Like, I always laugh when I drive by the psychic place closing because couldn't they see it coming? Ready to go, right? We can't read minds. God knows our heart, but he wants us to seek him and trusting him and asking him what's on our heart. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. All right, for note takers, for everybody is here right now, I want you to think about something right now. Think about the three greatest gifts you have. If you're writing it down, you can write it down. You can spitball it. First of all, Tyler West is here. That's the first greatest gift going on. Whatever that greatest gift is, maybe it's financial provision. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's Maybe it's having a new day. Maybe it's just a little bit of rain and sprinkling. Maybe it's seeing all the fresh bloom flowers from all of the rain. You're just enjoying all of this. I saw hydrangeas when we walked out front, up front here today when we walked in. I know that folks enjoy those. What are your three best gifts that you have? Did any of those things cost anything? Willing to bet they did. They all cost something. Yeah, Jesus is saying, hey, you can give good gifts that cost you something, but here's the thing. I am giving you, God has given you through me the best gift that cost him everything, but is freely available when you ask. That's him. When you ask. See, when you and I come to Jesus as Lord and Savior, we ain't afraid to ask. Think about that. When you first came to Jesus, you weren't afraid to say, God, save me. I'll do what you want me to do. And as we grow in him, we're just like, God, follow me instead of God, I'll follow you. And this is what Jesus is saying. As you and I then start looking at the things of this world and say, God, give me more of the things of this world instead of seeking his kingdom and the things that are to come. So Jesus is saying, hey, you don't know how to give the best gifts. Our Father knows how to give the best gifts. So will you trust that he is giving you the best gift, not just in me, but for eternity? Yes, he will provide for that relationship to be right. Yes, he will provide for that financial decision. Yes, he will provide to walk through that health diagnosis. He will provide for that grief because he's defeated death. Praise Jesus for that. Will we trust him with that? So because of that, he calls us then in verse 12 in the golden rule that we are called to share it with others. Because as Matthew 22 reminds us, what? Two greatest commandments, the law and the prophets are summed up in this. Really, he says here in the golden rule, but later he says it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So when we ask, seek, and knock, God, knock to God, we should be sharing it and sharing him with others. We should be sharing that. We should be saying, hey, I was blind, now I see. I was dead, but I was alive. I was hungry, now I'm fed. I was thirsty, now I have drink. I have my provision eternally. So we ask, we seek, and we knock. That's how we live out following Jesus with all that we are. Let me ask you a really quick question. Do we ask, seek, and knock for the things we hate? Do you want to buy some cookies? Like, right? Oh, another movie reference. You'll get back to that. It's a good one. I need Derek here today because he would be cackling. Or do we ask, seek, and knock for the things we love? Now, about those gifts, I said your three gifts. You probably, I don't know if you have someone difficult in your life to buy gifts for. I have no clue of anyone and anyone that I know that is a terrible person to buy gifts for. Usually because they don't really ask for anything. They don't seek for anything. So you don't know what to look for, right? Very, very hard thing to do. Those are very difficult people, and they definitely shouldn't be preaching on Sundays. I get it. But that's why there's an order to this. Sometimes you have to ask. And God is saying you have to ask his will and prayer. Because when you ask his will and prayer, you'll know where to look. You'll know where to seek. When you ask God's will and prayer, he's going to point you to his son, Jesus. You're going to know where to seek to find what you are looking for. And it's going to make you take that next step in Christ, following him just one step at a time, instead of worrying 10 steps ahead, saying, hey, you've given me my daily bread. I'm going to take this one step that you've called me to take today. And that will lead us to knock on the right doors. Because when we do that, the door will be open. It's not going to be shut. So maybe right now you're realizing I've knocked on a ton of doors. I don't know what in the world is going on. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can't figure out why I'm knocking on all these doors and they don't seem to be opening. Maybe today you need to go back and see where he's called you to and see that door he last opened to see where he's calling you to open the next one. Maybe he's calling you to be in that waiting season, the waiting room. It is sometimes, I know, the worst place to be. If you go to a hospital, it is the most tension-filled room. And you say, well, no, it's probably the person going into surgery. Yeah, they're knocked out. They don't know. They're okay. They're not really stressed like you are waiting in the waiting room. Maybe you're in the waiting room of prayer and you think you're all alone. Know that Jesus is there with you. Because he waited 3 days before he rose again, didn't he? Think of how long he waited before he could go to that cross for us. Think of how long he was saying, put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready. Give me, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to save them. I'm ready. My bride is waiting. I'm ready. And guess what? He's saying the same thing right now. One day he's going to stand up. All things will be made right. And we, like a wedding, like a bride adorned for a wedding, his church, are going to be there and be with him. Maybe that's where you are. Go back to what you were seeking last if you're knocking on the wrong doors. Make sure you know you're asking for God's will be done. But most importantly, we're going to go back to where we started. Know that God seeks you. If you go back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden, remember, God always sought Adam and Eve. It was Adam and Eve who no longer sought God. They hid from God in sin. See, sin's the only thing that keeps the door to God closed. And instead of us being locked behind this door of sin with no way out, trying to lower our hair down, waiting for Prince Charming, instead of doing that, God said, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to send the key to open the door in my one and only son, Jesus Christ. And he is going to do what none of us could do. He's going to live the perfect, sinless, righteous life that you and I could never live, clothing us in him. That means you and I have access to this righteousness. Even in our sin, we have access to it through faith. He's going to love us enough that he's going to pay the wages of that sin. The wages of that sin is death, because if you and I are locked behind the door and there's no way out, all they're going to find is a bunch of bones in 1,000 years, right? Sin's ultimate wage is death. And so Jesus dies that death for you and I, and he loves us enough not to stay dead, but rises again on the third day, so that we can have life. What does that mean? That means you and I can be in relationship with God now. We can go to God with our questions now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. I remember growing up, everybody said, I can't wait for all the questions I've got for God when I get to heaven. Why wait? He's ready to ask. He's ready for you to ask now. But see, remember, God seeks you because Jesus didn't only do all that. See, Jesus has been asking. Jesus has been seeking you. And right now, Revelation 3:20 reminds us that he is knocking on the door. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. See, Jesus is ready to have a relationship with you. There's only one door you can open in faith. And that's the door to trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed right now, we are reminded as Christians today to ultimately seek Jesus as our Lord and Savior and be reminded of everything that he has saved us from. But some today, whether you're listening to the sound of my voice in this house or you're listening at a different later time, you are finding out for the first time. You've knocked on the wrong doors. You've sought all the wrong things because you've been asking the wrong question. The question is, what will save you? The question is, what can set you free? The question is, what can satisfy like no other? And the answer is Jesus. So right now as a church, we're going to pray this prayer of faith out loud for the benefit of those who were coming to the faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So church, please repeat this prayer of faith out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this house or you're watching online and for the very first time, you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have heard that knock on the door. You felt that pounding in your chest, realizing that's Jesus knocking on the door of your heart, and you have welcomed him in for the first time as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house, you can do so. If you're online, you can do so. We would love to celebrate this decision with you. There are angels in heaven celebrating this with you. We want to make sure that we can get in connection with you. You can send us a message throughout all of our social platforms inside of our Vine Church app, or shoot us a message at hello@thevine.tv. We want to celebrate this decision with you, so that way you can get connected with a local church to grow to be exactly who Christ created you to be, because that can only happen in a local church near you. For the rest of us, you can go ahead and stand up and look up. Look up's probably the better thing to do before you stand up. We're about to have this moment of worship. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit convicted you and realized I've been asking for the wrong things. I've been seeking the wrong things. I've forgotten to seek Jesus as my ultimate treasure. I've been knocking on the wrong doors. And so today, as we have this moment of worship, would you just trust Jesus and ask him what he would have you seek, so that you can knock on the right door that only he can open?
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it. Don't deserve it till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Isn't he wonderful?
We can be thankful that we can give the praise and honor the only thing that matters, the ultimate gift, the perfect gift of Jesus Christ. And instead of him keeping it to himself, he gave it to each and every one of us. So you and I get to give the world the perfect gift. So as we go out and each and every day, I pray that we would keep asking and seeking and knocking not only to Jesus, but to share him with everyone. Because right now, somebody is waiting to hear the hope of Jesus. I hope we bring him back here safely next week as we get to have that, if it is his will that we do that. And I'm sure we'll have zero calorie snacks. And I pray that each and every one of us have an amazing week that does not have a ton of rain, right? Who's got the pontoon boat? Who's got the pontoon? We'll be ready. Either way, whatever it looks like, we hope that you